called Cornerstone, and I was looking up the story behind it. It says in 2011 there was a shooting massacre in Norway, and so Reuben Morgan and his team, his music team, they decided to sing a song to encourage the people. And so they wrote the song called Cornerstone. Verse 1, it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name." And it's pretty much saying, you know, Jesus is our foundation. So no matter what struggles we go through, if we know someone who's going through struggles, we just have to keep encouraging them that they have to just focus on Jesus, and he's the foundation for our lives and our faith.
Dressed in his robe.
Or a fist bump.
Lord, I lift your name on
Blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Last week, because we didn't have church because of the weather, we stayed at home and we were watching this pastor, and he was preaching about forgiveness. And he was saying how, or his example was David, and how he sinned with Bathsheba. And when he asked for forgiveness, he asked God. He said, God, I sinned against you. And the pastor said, David wasn't ignoring the fact that he sinned against everyone else. It's just if he sins against everyone else, the number one person that he's sinning against is always God. And that verse, it says, O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. Pastor was saying, when we ask for forgiveness from God, it's nothing new that God doesn't know that you did something wrong. Like, he knows everything that we've done. It's not like we're going to go to God and say, I did something bad, and God's going to just act surprised that he didn't know. This song that we're about to sing, the first words are, 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. It just reminds me that no matter how many times I fail God and I sin against God, if I ask for forgiveness, he's always going to forgive me, and he's always there to pick me up and support me and forgive me and always be there for me.
Times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Purpose remains, the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and grace become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
This remains
the art of losing myself. heart and my soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out.
Our soul cries out from within. From within, O God. Because you are our God. And you deserve our praise. You are holy. And you called us to be holy. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. There is no reason for us, Lord, to fall back, because we know you are with us. We know you are with us today. Even in this very day, even when the sky cries out, Lord, even if our future looks dim, because we know, Lord God, that you hold our future. You hold our future within the palms of your hand. And nothing, Lord God, can ever snatch us out from your love, Lord God. Because we know the love of the Father. We know that love that saved us. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful grace. For that love, Lord God, that truly surrounds us. To you we give back all the glory, all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning, Windalas. How are you today? I'm pretty sure you missed us, right? Amen. Yeah, it's been a long time. Praise God. While we're preparing for tithes and offering, I just would like to bring back those words that we just sang. You know, it really just hits you, right? How great is the love of our God. And, you know, it encourages to really see that, to really feel that, right? So that's the reason why during last Sunday also, when we didn't have any service, it gave us an opportunity to watch the passion of Pastor Francis Chan. You know Francis Chan? You know Brother Jackie Chan. Okay. You know Jackie Chan. But we're going to Pastor Francis Chan, and I know that the Holofernes sisters, the family, they went there to attend that passion. And I was like, man, you know, I believe when you attend that kind of engagement, you come out there refreshed, all on fire, because I only heard the preaching of Pastor Francis Chan, and he was really elaborating on how great our God is, who Jesus Christ is, and you can just, I was just looking at him, and I'd see, even if you don't hear this guy speak, the way he was really, you know, he's showing his emotions and stuff like that, you could really tell how much he loves the Lord and how much he really honors and respects God. And I was like, Lord, you know, if I look at myself, I'm not even at par with how he really comes before the Lord, right? He was just saying, you know, when you're looking at yourself coming from dust and a sinner, right? And then you see, you know about God, the one who created you, and he was showing this, and he was saying, Lord, you who made the universe, the entire universe, and what are you mindful of me? I am but nothing. But here comes God, and he gave his only begotten son to die for us. And then you're thinking, and I come before you? And I come like this. I sing to you, you know, I just look at the words and I sing out of my mouth. But do I really cry out from within? Do I really express that all sincerity from within? How much we love him, how much we worship him. But if we really look deep within us, we say, you know what? I don't really feel this. Hello? You don't feel it? The mere fact that you know about Christ, you know about who God is, and yet you don't feel coming to Sunday service to worship the Holy Father? I mean, come on, Pastor Ed, wake up! I was thinking, you know, my goodness, if I can just have that kind of feeling, the way Pastor Francis Chan was really, really showing, and how he really comes to God and really try to worship him, I was like, man, you know, if only we could have that same grasp of who God is, then when we come to church, we're so excited, right? And even if we don't even come to church, we set up a time to really go inside our closet to meet with him, right? But sometimes you go into your closet and then you see your wrinkled clothes and, oh, you just started ironing it and forgetting about God, right? That happens to me sometimes. You know, I would go and I would bring my tablet and go inside the closet, and once I open it up and Facebook comes up. And you say, oh, what's new today? And then you see a news about what's going on in the Middle East, you started reading, and then you forget about God. Right? So where is that feeling that God is showing? Even with our tithes and offering. Even with our tithes and offering, the mere fact when you really understand the way God loves us. You know? And a few days later, I watched again one of his preachings, and man, I was like, whoo, you know, this guy. No wonder his book his well-known book, Crazy Love, is really one of the best, because he looks really like crazy on the pulpit. You know, he brought a piece of chicken. You remember that? Yeah. He brought a piece of chicken, and I wanted actually to use that, in one of the teachings, but let me show it to you. He brought a piece of chicken. This is how we really give to God. he said. So he was eating his chicken. Payment for my mortgage. Then he started biting on the chicken. And then, gas, groceries. And then he started biting it. And I have to spend for my dentist or my braces and stuff like that. And then he started biting. And what's left is a piece of bone. Oh, God. Here, God. Actually, that's just what we all are, right? That's just what we all are. You remember the time when the priest asks you to give for God, and we don't reach for our wallets, right? We reach for our coins. Give it, put it there, right? If it's too many, we just probably get like two pieces of coins. And then we're even, when you are, I remember this, when I was reaching for my wallet and reach out for a 5-peso bill, and I was like showing to everybody that I'm putting a paper bill right there. And that's what we all are, right? We just think of ourselves first, and then what's remaining is that's what we give to God. What happened to us? I was looking at that video and I was like, man, you know, it really convicted me. It really convicted me. And I was like, man, if only I can have that passion. Because that's what we should really are. Or that's what we should always be. Have always a passion for God. But sometimes because of the busyness of the world and the other stuff that we have in our minds, we neglect it. Right? We just put him aside. Lord, you know, I'm busy. I have to really read the news. Lord, I'm sorry, but Nathan is doing tantrums right now, so I'll just put you aside. I have to fold the clothes, do laundry. You know, Lord, you know me. I got plenty of things to do, right? And then you just forget about him. But here's the thing. What God desires of us is he gave his one and only begotten son. What do you think should we do? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the life you have given me. You think that's enough? We know that's not even enough. That's the reason why when we read the Bible, we see how God really commands us to give of our heart, give of our lives, give of our time. And I thank Pastor Lucian because God has touched his heart. He asked me to speak every end of the month about giving. And so I'm just trying to warm up your hearts. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much. So much, oh God, for all the things that you have done for us. We know, Lord God, that there are times in our lives we tend to just neglect you. Indeed, Lord, as we continue to be doing those small things, we even become callous and not realize that we are already treading the path of destruction. That instead of giving of our time, giving of ourselves to you and to the ministry of this church, we put it aside and we think that what we do, what we say is good enough. But Father, you look at the heart of people. You look at the heart. And this reminds us also of that old lady that you were showing your disciples, Lord God. That's so poor lady. And she gave off what the last coin of what she has. And you were telling your disciples, who do you think among those people could enter the kingdom of God. Those rich men who were giving of the extra that they have, or that old lady, that poor lady who gave of all what she had. That shows us, Lord God, that you look at the heart, Lord. You look at the sacrifice that we bring. That's the reason why you commanded the Israelites to give of the best animal as an offering. Not that the blind one, not that the rejected one, but to give of the best of the best. Father, even recalling Cain and Abel, oh Lord God. Lord, you see, Cain, he really worked for those vegetables, Lord God, those fruits, Lord God. He gathered them. He gave his time, Lord God, to work for it and offer it to you. But Lord, even if those were the best, you see in his heart that his motives are not right, and you rejected it. And you are teaching us, Lord God, to be not only right with what we give, but most of all, right in our hearts. And so, Father, we just thank you for those things that you show us. Thank you for the things that you have given us. And we pray, Lord God, that as we go on our ways later, Lord God, these coming days, we would think about that. Think of what you have done for us, that we may always give you the best in us, our worship. Our worship to you is what we do for you, Lord God. Not for what we do with ourselves. Father, we thank you. We thank you, for you are abounding in grace and love for us. That though we do this, Lord God, you always have and allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to counsel us, to convict us of the wrongs we have done, that we may be able, Lord, to really go back to where you want us to be right with you all the time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Sorry about that.
About what?
You become emotional.
It's okay, you can cry. Welcome to the men's club. When he started sharing all this stuff, I got to be honest. I had something prepared, but it's throwing me all over the place. I'm hoping, no, it's great. I just want to say to you up front that I'm hoping God will put all my thoughts together, because everything today, what I'm about to speak, is almost correlated to exactly what Pastor Ed was just talking about, but I couldn't hook it in. I couldn't understand where God was talking and how he was leading me, but because of what he said, I want to piggyback on those things. But here, I'm going to start. Please be patient with me, because it's going to be longer than what I'm used to, because I try to get us to walk out of here by about 10:15, because I'm very time conscious. But at the same time, this principle, what I'm about to share to you, I think is very, very important. So let me start out with these stories. The very first thing is today, Pastor and I, Ed, had traveled all the way to Houston this past Saturday. And honestly, we were debating as to why we should go there, because it's an 8-hour trip, 9 hours actually, nonstop. We just ate. As I was driving, we pulled into McDonald's, and I looked at the time and I said, maybe we should stop and eat and so we could just talk. But when I looked at it, it says 9:30. That's what the GPS is saying. I said, no, forget it, man. Let's just drive through and get our food. So I did that, and we kept driving. We did this, and we were a little bit, this whole week, we were debating, should we even go? But God blessed it. The reason it blessed it, and I finally realized what God wanted me to do, was to get to know our pastor a little bit better. I did. It's been, I mean, I have a hard time getting to find time with him because I work and my schedules have gone crazy. And all the activities in church is just time consuming. So I appreciated what we did this past Saturday. It was really a great time. And I wish I could do that more with him, and I plan on doing that. But in addition to this, we talked about you guys. Yeah, we did. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Was that supposed to not come out? Okay. Okay. So we talked about you guys directly. And one of the things that I heard, two things today, is we started out with this, and I have challenged our pastor to talk about this because the reality is that we have to come back to the core. And when two things that came to mind, and I'm not going to share it because I believe those people should share that. One group has been blessed because they have acquired something and God has blessed them when they prayed for certain things in their life and God fulfilled them. In fact, I think I could tell you God fulfills a lot of our desires. But like he said, he went to the room and he started to bring his iPad and he walked into the closet. And what do? We got distracted. We were supposed to do something important, and that is to be with God. And all of a sudden, this is simple, right? You go from one room and you go into the other room. And what does he do? He gets distracted by a Facebook. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of distractions that are going to occur when God did a great success in your life. You ask God for something really miraculous. And when you're going to God and asking him, thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do, what happens when you're going there? You get distracted. Have you ever gone through that situation? I've said, and again, we were talking about this, it's not this group. I'm not going to say what he said. I'm going to say another group, another church group that I had asked. They would come in and they would say, and they come from the Philippines and they would ask, Lord, Pastor, can you pray for us? And they say, can you pray specifically that God would provide a job for us? And unfortunately, I'm not going to pick on nurses, but nurses. And we prayed hard, long and hard for them to get a job. Now, I know what nurses' life is because I'm married to one. And I know what their schedules are like, and that's a given. But what I realized is that when we prayed and God fulfilled their desires, and as they were walking back to their place of where they asked God for that particular request, they got distracted. And they lost the vision of who gave them their answered prayer. Have you guys ever gone through that? Have you ever gone through where you forgot? Oh, God. Oh, and then we forget because, oh, you know what? I got this raise. I got this little bit of money. And I'm not going to harp on it because I'm not even actually going to go there because Pastor Ed is going to do that. So if you want to point, you can point fingers to him. But my point is this. God actually has given us far more than we could expect. So the story today is about, we've been studying about the book of Luke. And we've been doing this, and we've been studying specifically Luke chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Because I want you to know and understand this, and I'm going to open up my premise right now. God gave us the most important gift, and that is His Son. I mean, I don't know how many of you would be willing to give your son as an offering to bad people, to people who you don't know. If you think about it, look at your kid. Look at your child. I'm going to say Shekinah is the only one that's right now here. And and as we're looking at this child and we're looking to offer this child for someone else who may not love you back, Would you be willing to do that? And then even worse, what if they spit on your face? Talk bad about you? Would you still be willing to offer your child as a sacrifice for that person? The obvious answer is what? No. But God did. In the book of Luke, he actually sent his only son. That's the key word. I want you to hear that word. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave that word called only begotten son." There is no replacement for his son. Nobody. Nobody can replace it. Only begotten son. He gave that to you. And so I'm piggybacking on this thoughts that when Pastor Ed is talking about, he is one of my favorite, actually, Francis Chan. And no, he's not related to Jackie Chan. I don't even know. I don't even think he does karate. Francis Chan. And yes, he is Chinese. So I just want you to know. Great preacher from the Word of God. And so we know that God has offered this son. And I want to now introduce a little story of where we're going to go. Have you ever heard of the story about a frog? And this frog, when they're put on a frying pan, and then they turn on the heat, and then the frog sits there, and what happens is they start to get assimilated or gets used to the heat, and then if you turn it up a little bit more, they readjust to the heat again, and then you keep raising it up until, you know what happens? The frog gets cooked. The story behind that is this frog he adjusted to everything around him until it actually killed him. And I'm going to tell you where that fits in. But what we're going to do first is to read the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible verses, can you turn to that for me, John? And I'm going to read it up here, but if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to, because sometimes our translation is a little bit. Luke chapter 2, and I want to just briefly touch on this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed them in the manger because there was no room available for them. We're going to stop there real quick. Last 2 weeks ago, I told you that God had blacked out with the people of Jews. And guess what happened? Angels came. And for the very first time, God appeared. And he appeared to first, you remember, Zacharias and who? Okay, Elizabeth. And then Gabriel again appeared to who? Mary and Joseph. And then now, who are they? Same Gabriel is appearing to who? The shepherds. God was totally silent in this point of life. And then all of a sudden, he comes. And if you see the story, I just want you to kind of get a whole total picture of how God works. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and I could be wrong, he says there's a baby that is to be born in Ephrathah, renamed later as Bethlehem. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I want you to understand this a little bit, and that is God is involved throughout history From the beginning to the end, he has been involved. And when you ask that question, is he involved in your life? I'm going to tell you honestly right now, he is involved in your life. And so the story is continues on. And let me turn on this real quick, my notes. And this is the part that I think I might deviate a little bit. It's a wonderful world of technology. In chapter 2, I want to just read this for you, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And I'm just going to read this, John, if you could just continue to roll. And it may deviate some wording here. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in their heart. The shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they've heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And verse 21, and when it continued, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. I just want to talk about a little bit about this proclamation, this gift. We've all been given gifts, but this is his greatest gift to us, his son. And I think at times where Pastor Ed is very true, we forget, what has God done for me lately? Well, you know what? He's given us his greatest gift of all, his son. And what does he do? He uses a group of people that during that time were the lowest of lowest people. He proclaimed this message to whom? To a bunch of shepherds. Shepherds that have status quo of the lowest class. And as I was thinking about this, if I were the PR or public relation to try to bring up and to show about Jesus, most of us would do what? We would invite the classic people, the smartest, the most influential, the governors, the president. We would want these people there because we wanted to declare that Christ has come. And imagine with me as well as this, that it isn't a festive moment when they were going in and they were doing the registration and registering to pay their taxes. This place wasn't like a party scene. It was a very quiet place. Because I think we imagine this particular day as if it is Christmas today. We are imagining that today, like today here, where we celebrate Christ's birthday, as if it's something that's happening similar that day. Actually, it was not. Nobody knew that Jesus was being born. It was just another day. Nobody. The kings didn't know. And so who did God pick? Of all the people, he picked a bunch of shepherds. Shepherds who people would not consider credible, untrustworthy. But look at the effects of this baby. I love this verse. It says here, and the angel appeared to them, and the glory, let me step back.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks. And an angel appeared to them, and the glory shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel says, do not be afraid. I bring you, in this word, good news. I honestly today, good news. What does that mean? It's kind of an evangelism word. It means that I, as a person, is coming to share with you something that is very, very important. And this is the part I'm going to step back here. Why did he do that? He says, it will be a sign to you because this baby will be the savior of the world. Now, I was asking this question in the scheme of this. It says, why do we need a savior? What is Christ really saving us from? And being able to interact with Pastor Ed and some of understanding some of the issues, we think that we may be saved from our unfulfilled accomplishments. Maybe you guys are asking God or Christ to help you in your marriage. You know, it's been great to hear what Pastor Ed is talking about related to his group. His group, I've been hearing great things related to the 5 love languages. And as they gather together, they've been able to talk and share among each other how they can encourage and build one another up. And as they're learning to talk, I actually thought it would be very difficult, be honest, because I was thinking about it from the mindset of Filipinos. Because the Filipinos tend not to be open with one another, especially if it's related to exposing some of your problems in your relationships. Here, we think that God is, you know, when we look at the Savior, we think that God will try to fix all of our marital problems. Maybe it's your career. I don't know if you think about your career and you look at your career and you say, God, I need something that will help me do something that will help my family. And you look at that and you try to say, God, I want you to help me fulfill my career. And we ask God the same thing. And maybe it's relationships that we struggle with. But in this word, the word of God, He is basically saying when He came into this world, there was a problem. That relationships, marital problems, wasn't the issue. The issue was with sin in our lives. Sin was the one that was separating us from God. And so God needed to do what? He needed to show that He was going to bring a Savior, and this Savior came in the form of a baby. And He restored the relationship by providing us His Son. And so when He goes on there, He says, suddenly, when this will be a sign to you, you will see the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a greater company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. When God offered this baby to us as a gift, the response is not just that the gift itself was valuable, but our response is to give God back the glory. The same similar step that the angels saw there, that they were able to do, they were actually declaring and showing to the people of the shepherds that says, we have provided you this gift, and the outcome of this gift is to give God His glory, His due. That's why I believe that we come here today. We come to this place not just to present our gifts, but to give Him His glory. That's why when there is one thing I always try to encourage our body of believers to do. Number one, I try to ask you guys if you could share your testimonies. Oftentimes I do that, but it's been lately since I haven't.
Lately, I haven't been doing it. But it's a great thing when people share God's testimony. Because what we're doing is we're giving Him His glory, His due, because of what God is doing in our own personal lives. Because of that, in verse 15 through 18, we see how the shepherds embrace this gift. And I'm going to just start with this. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing, what had happened, which the Lord has told us about." When they saw the gift, and when they saw that they were giving glory, their response to that particular call is this. They believed in the revelation. They believed the presentation that was set before them. When the angels were giving glory to God, the people were standing before there and they were saying, "Yes, we believe that Jesus is here. We want to see who this Jesus is about." And because when they heard this, what was their response? I want you to hear this word. "Let's go to Bethlehem and verify this. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing, this reality, this Jesus." What they did is they went. When they heard the Bible, when they heard that there was this gift, their response was they went to see this Jesus to see if it is true that the Messiah is there. And out of that response, what did they see? They went to see this reality or this thing, which is to verify if this is true. And he says, when they had seen it, their response is to do what? They spread the word of God to everyone. Let me step back here again. I don't know all your stories in regarding to accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Sorry. I don't know when you guys have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. But one of the most exciting things that I have seen, and I have seen people who come to know Jesus for the very first time, the very first thing they always ask is, "I need to get to know this Jesus more. I want to really get to know Him." And the reason they want to get to know Him is because at the end of the day, they want to share that Jesus to everyone. There's a word that I'm going to use, and I've used it with the young people, and it feels like there are times where I'm going to make you feel guilty about this. And I don't want to, but in my own personal life, I feel guilty that I am not as proactive in sharing God's word. In fact, I know there's tendencies of us to be what? Afraid to share because of what people would think. But if you see that the response of the angels when they brought this Savior and they made the angels made an announcement of this Savior, the lowest class of people during that time, shepherds, their response was, "Let's go to this place, verify that there is this Jesus." And when they had seen this Jesus, what was their response? They went out and shared. They shared the gospel. They were sharing it among. In fact, if you look at the Bible in verse 17, when they had seen it, they spread the word concerning what they had told about this child. And here's what happened in verse 18. "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had said." In other words, they were amazed when they were sharing the gospel to other people. They said, "Wow, that is awesome what you just said." But the people who received it didn't respond the way they needed to. See, there are people today in our world, in our group, they're amazed by God. But amazement is not enough. You have to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. See, we need to share God's word. That's why, do we really have Him as part of our lives? Do we really see that this gift is precious and respond in the same similar way that the people of the shepherds did to others? Continuing on in verse 19, it says here, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And as I was reading this story, I was thinking about this because there's a double-edged sword here, and I'm going to read this to you and then talk about it. He says to Mary, this person, Simeon, in verse 34 and 35, he says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we will be spoken against. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And here's the piercing thoughts to Mary. And a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. Can you imagine as a mother, this baby? She must have been thinking in her brain that says, this is the perfect God, the King of all kings, the baby who's going to be the Jesus himself, and he will be a perfect child. And then in her mind, she must be thinking, is he going to start speaking wisdom? Is he going to be this child that there's no possible fault, which I wish we had? But this child in itself will do nothing wrong. And what happened? They hung him in the cross. And in her heart, she knew that this son of hers had nothing, no sin, done nothing wrong. But what happened? People took them. And in her heart, she pondered about that. She's thinking in her brain, how in the world, why would this happen to my own son, who is actually a perfect child? And in her heart, she's pondering in her thoughts and saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do to raise this child. And that's the kind of area that she's talking about here. But Mary treasured them and just hoping that she would be able to raise her perfectly. And in verse 20, the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen, which was just as they were told. As believers, even when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we accept this baby, and we pronounce the great things of what He has done, and I honestly, this is the hard part. I wish I could hear more. Even in my own personal life, I wish I could hear what God has done so that we could share the similar stories to others. But you noticed here the reaction after they seen Jesus, they seen the baby born, they seen what God has given to us, they went back to their regular jobs. What does that mean, Lucian? What this translates this is this. Once we accept Jesus, our attitudes about our work and our workplace changes. I'm going to tell you honestly. I don't know if I shared this with our group, but meaning the porny group. But I really hate my job. I do. I mean, I really, really, really hate it. And I thought at first God brought me there to really to minister. And I think He did. I'm going to be honest with you, He did. To my boss. He does not know Jesus. But he's seeking. And God has given me many, many opportunities to witness to him. I mean, twice he did. One on the plane, and I'll never forget it. And one driving down to Houston, never forget it. I just shared the gospel to him. But I got to be honest, I hate it. Because I know his management style and my management styles are totally different. They oppose each other. And today, when I look at this, when I look at this particular statement, and I see that after the shepherds met with Jesus, or the baby, and Mary and Joseph, and then they come back to their work, the attitudes of these shepherds were changed. I don't know if they were in the same predicament. I mean, you know, the same scenario, same work, same group of sheep, same people that they hung around with. Maybe they have bad relationship with some of these guys, but what do? They come back. And when they come back, here's the word that they say. They came back glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have seen. They have actually a different perspective of life because they had seen the baby Jesus. It's taught me a lesson about mine. It's taught me that I personally have to overcome these things. And I do come in there no matter how difficult the circumstances are, to have this right attitude of praising and glorifying God in the midst of this. You know, when a believer, and I just want to share this, that the when the shepherds saw this and they embraced and they saw Christ, one of the things that in verse 21, and I'm going to conclude with this. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. And I want you to hear this word, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. As a believer, as one who sees Jesus and has accepted him as their Lord and Savior, the story of these shepherds, and especially Mary and Joseph, they were ready to circumcise Jesus, and of obedience, because of their obedience, they name him Jesus. Now, what is that all about, Lucian? Why is that so relevant to us? Or how could it be relevant then? The beauty about that is Jesus. Remember Zacharias and Elizabeth? John? They said, we should name this guy somebody in your family. And what did they say? Let's stop. Let's ask Zacharias, who should we name this baby? And he goes, what? His name should be John. Out of obedience to what Gabriel said, because of what God said. Similar in Matthew 21:21, what did the angel Gabriel say to Mary and Joseph? You should name this Jesus. Out of obedience. Let me just stop there. You know, when we accept Jesus and we see the things that he has done, and we see it in his word, what he has asked of us, because of your great love, you would do it out of obedience. Can I just challenge you to a couple things? Pastor Ed, I heard him say this just a couple seconds ago, or a few minutes ago. The only way we really can grow out of obedience is to read his word. There is no other way. There isn't. His stories of his great love is in here. I have been really blessed with this, and I'm going to share this, and my wife is in here. But I have been really, really, really blessed by her. At first, like I told you, I didn't think she would read it. I didn't even think she would be very enthusiastic about reading this book, especially the whole entire New Testament, in 8 weeks. I didn't even think she would do that. But now that she's doing it, she can't help but get into it. I mean, she literally really seeks out God's word, because she wants to know the stories. She wants to know the stories about who God is. She wants to understand the kind of things that God is really doing through this story. And yes, that book that we're doing called the Book Club no longer has the Bible verses, and it doesn't have the chapters. And it is a book. For the very first time, I've told you, my wife, who was really not into this, reading it like this, in this manner, started to read it. And I got to be honest with you, every conversation that we have, she challenges me. She challenges me. She actually will share more things about God and what He is doing in His Word. Why? For the very first time, I think, this is my thought about it, out of obedience. Out of obedience, she decided to read it. And out of a different method, it helped her. I'm going to make you feel guilty because I did this with the young people. We come before God. The same thing that I think we talk about the tithes and offering. He doesn't really want you to feel guilty about doing that. The bottom line is it's because out of glorifying Him, you would do it. Out of your love, you would do it. No obligations, because Christ already had given you His greatest gift, His Son, His one and only begotten Son. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as they play the song. Why don't we stand up and just close in a word of prayer? Father, Lord, I just praise You and thank You. Father, I pray that even today that You would help us. Father, I know I was all over the place in my own mind. But Father, I pray that You would have just taken a little nuggets of truths and maybe touched people's lives in different ways, in different ways. Father, I pray that You would help everyone in this room to understand that the greatest gift of all was given to you through our Son, through Your Son. And because of this, Father, we claim that, Father, that we receive Your gift, that we would no longer be fearful, but like the shepherds, want to proclaim, spread the gospel. Out of obedience, Father, because we want to glorify and honor Your name. In Jesus' name.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. Trust in his righteousness alone.
Worshiping with us. If you could just sit for a second, we just have a couple announcements. One of them is going to be, I'm going to give it to Leah.
I'd like to invite you again in our sports fest coming up on Friday. Woo! We'll have basketball, volleyball, flag football, obstacles for kids and adults alike, and all that good stuff. And it's $5 for admissions. We're trying to raise funds for our youth camp. So please support us and invite your friends and family. Everyone is invited. So we hope to see you there. And also, for parents of the kids who are going to camp, we'll have another meeting at 1 p.m. So we'll have another proposal.
Can you tell them where it's located again?
Oh, our youth camp?
The
sports event will be at Warren Sports Complex in Frisco, Texas. So it's on Facebook. And
okay, the people who don't have Facebooks.
So the people who don't have Facebooks, we will give you guys flyers and tickets.
Okay, and then it starts at 2, right?
Starts at 2, ends at 7 p.m.
Okay, so if you guys can make it, I know some of you guys work, but we would cordially invite you. So please, for the old guys, bring Advil.
And bring extra shirt, probably towel. Okay. It might be wet.
It's going to be nice and warm.
Yes, it's going to be highs of 70.
Okay, so great time. Anybody else? Okay. One thing, and I'm going to try to see if we can get this, either the end of the month, Saturday, we were supposed to, last month of February, we were supposed to have flag football. But because of the weather, we couldn't do it, so we're going to try to do this at the end of March. Okay? Anybody else? Okay. The only thing I want to promote, and a couple things. Number one. Pastor Henry and I were talking about this, even with Sister Emily and leadership. Church, as just a thought here, Sunday is a celebration day. Most important is always the small groups. Always. The small groups is where everything, life begins. That is where you'll get more from the teaching and also relationships. In fact, that's one of the things that we were talking about with the leadership district, the district group in Texas. If you're not involved, I would recommend highly to get you involved in that. Number two, one of the things that we've been talking about, and please pray for leadership. We've been talking about what kind of people are we really focusing in this ministry. Very, very important. We would love inputs from you all. For example, just so that you understand, if people, we may not be a college and career group. And the reason is we only have two. And that two is actually part of our youth group. Who's the four?
Oh, they're going.
Okay. Yeah, these two might be that, towards that.
Might be.
Okay. And sync might be. Point again is it's in synchronized as they're doing it. The point of this statement is you need to get involved in small groups. That's where it's all about. In fact, one of the challenges that we've been doing is oftentimes we bring people into the church and we think this is church. While it is, it's most important to do what? To really actually invite them in your small groups. And so that you can actually let them know what it's this big church is about. But relationship begins in the small groups. It's very hard for Pastor and I when you bring somebody in because we don't know that individual. And so again, we would love to start growing our small group and enhancing that experience. Unless you want to say anything else, Pastor Ed.
You covered it all.
Okay. Let's all stand up. Let's stand up. Close our prayer. Close with a prayer, and then I'm going to ask. You guys lead one more song. Okay. Why don't we close with a word of prayer? Father, Lord, we just ask you and thank you. Praise you, Father, that we will continue to glorify you because of the great things that you have done. You have shared to us your child. And out of that response, Father, I pray, Lord, give us boldness to share. Father, give us this boldness. If it's not there, Father, just be pure obedience because of our love for you. Give us confidence, Lord. Give us confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with this song.
Let's close with, Lord, I lift your name on high.